dun, 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 dun. It's Sharknado 3!
I don't know which was funnier, having you do that or have Dave just go, hey, look, I'm running out of CDs.
Incidental music on a soap opera, I think, coming up on Young and the Restless.
We're going to have our roundtable panel this morning. You know, sometimes on Thursdays, the Media Project kids run a little bit late.
Yeah.
And Ira and Alan will be coming in and joining us in just a minute.
Great.
It'll give us a moment, well, first of all, for Ray and I to bond.
Oh, gosh. You know.
Thank you very much for filling in for me yesterday. I appreciate that.
Oh, what fun we had.
I know. By the way, a reminder, we're redoing our studios.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. This is a lousy studio.
Yeah, we have a... So we're going to have a new roundtable tomorrow, but we'll not have a panel discussion.
Ah, okay. I called it an archive edition, but this is all fresh content.
Oh, no, this is all fresh. Oh, this is that off the line fresh.
Really?
Yes.
But on tape still all the same.
but very fresh.
Okay.
But we won't be having the panel discussions because they're going to be the tech crews are going to be in here. They're going to be moving wires and coming up with a whole beautiful new studio for us.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, that'll be a first.
Nice. So we get moved temporarily, just temporarily.
Yeah.
But they need the time to actually do the moving, you see.
Yeah.
So that'll be happening to tomorrow morning.
So there'll be no panel. So
there'll be no
our listeners are encouraged to break up into their own discussion groups.
Well, here's the two things I think that you should do. Right. Have your own discussion group. Go through the newspaper and argue with your friends.
Yeah.
And maybe Donald Trump will give you Rosemary's cell phone number.
Well, that would be great.
Who's going to read the letters?
Alan will probably just call you. He can read them.
Yeah.
Just call you up and read them.
Call Alan up, and here's his cell number.
What I like Lindsey Graham. Yeah,
that's right.
The ceremonial reading of the mail.
Joe, if I may, I just wanted to take a moment to congratulate you and the rest of the WMC news operation.
Oh, I forgot to bring that up. I was going to read it for everybody.
Right, but Metroland, that very distinguished newspaper. No, it is, of course.
Yeah.
And gave us a tremendous send-off in their best of edition.
Send-off. Are we leaving or are they leaving?
Somebody's leaving.
Yeah.
Are we leaving? they were nice enough to
mention you with great distinction.
Well, all of us. I thought they did a beautiful job.
Ian.
For news. Yeah. And the newsroom and the great reporters and Ian and his great crew, and then for the roundtable and the arts coverage, and then Alan and Sarah for her for the work in the arts, and it was all very nice.
Oh, that's
it was
terrific.
A very nice report.
It was. It was really.
Did
a
they
good
spell
thing.
Your name right, or they spell no, it A L L E N?
No, they spelled my name right. My name, my last name is the one because the Chartok twins can't decide whether it's Chartok or Chartok.
What do you mean?
Well, Chartok would be spelled with an S, and Chartok would be spelled with a C.
Not necessarily.
Well, I think you can spell it any way you want, but you
just don't call me late for dinner.
However you spell it, it comes out great.
But now all I'm fascinated with is
what
about the twins? So your brother has a different pronunciation and thought on this than you do.
I don't really know.
Oh,
I don't really. Yeah. know.
Are you estranged?
You have to talk.
No,
for
not
that.
At all.
No. I mean, clearly you're strange, but you're estranged.
Estranged. Yes. Want to get in on this, Ira?
So how am I going to find the studio next week?
Here's
make a left at Ian Pickus's desk.
Right. You go down the hallway until you find something that you think may be a miniature golf course. And then,
right at the windmill.
And then there's a gator with its mouth open. And then you take a right.
Okay. No, I'll get here a little early.
The fun drive room.
Ah, I see. That's where we have the board meetings with the free popcorn.
Right. But there'll be no board meetings there now because they have sound insulation and walls. It looks like an isolation booth on a game show.
Well, we did our last board meeting at the annex next door, and which has the longest hallway in the history of buildings.
Yes.
Yeah. It used to be a bank.
Long hallway, small room.
Used to be the Evergreen Bank. People still try to hold it up. No.
Did it ever used to be, because I heard this once, that it was also a funeral home? And that back room
was it really?
Where we
no,
sit,
no, it was.
That they had the curtains. Yeah. The curtains.
The curtains
were there.
Open up to a wind to nothing.
Well,
there's
no,
a big,
no,
there's
to a
big
door. Where
oh,
you
yeah.
to
a
the
door,
hearse.
Right?
Yeah, there's
well,
a big darned. Door in the back. Yeah,
so that's
is.
Why my career went there to die. It's amazing.
Well, look at the time. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get everybody seated, and then we'll.
Any letters on this first segment?
Not yet. No, okay. Not yet. We're monitoring it closely. We'll check the returns from Illinois. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, a source for organic and local fare, and in Rhinebeck, fresh made-to-order food at the Sunflower Cafe and Juice Bar on Garden Street, sunflowernatural.com. Monticello, licensed real estate broker, 80 Davis Avenue, Albany, utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes, monticellonys.com. D. Marchen, Hudson, New York, featuring summer fashions, shoes, and accessories for men and women from U.S., European, and local designers, open every day. We want to dress your body. DEMARCHIN.com. And the Co-Festival of Performance at Amherst, presenting Out of the Past at the Meadowy River Company, outdoors for all ages, with puppets, masks, and live music, Sunday at 8, co.kfest.com.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Yo, and hello, everybody.
Ray Hi. Graff is here as well.
Hi, all.
And Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld.
Wonderful to be back. Thank
well.
You.
Thank you very much for being here and for doing all the great stuff you do. All right. Alan, I'm going to take you up on your,
okay,
your
very
kind
good.
Offer.
What's going on?
Well, because just don't worry about
Jeez,
it.
Jeez, Alan, look at that phone. Just look at the phone.
I didn't pick this phone.
Okay, that's a big phone.
Yeah.
It makes you look small.
There you go with your...
No, it's a huge phone.
There you go with
look
your...
Look at the phone.
...tight jokes.
Look at that.
Right. I don't know. Hey, oh, wow. Man, look at that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's a this sandwich board.
Great radio.
Yeah, it is.
Well, look at that. Okay. So,
all right, now I'm just going to look for it. So we have many items to discuss today, but first off, let's go to, I wanted to start off with Uber.
Uber.
Let's start off with Uber. This is making news around the country, what has happened in New York City, because many people feel that it's going to lead the way. Officials in New York abruptly abandoned plans to rein in the powerful tech and transit company Uber, dropping a fiercely contested proposal to cap the company's growth in its largest market. New York City's council had planned to vote as early as Thursday on a bill that would have put a pause on Uber's rapid extension, while the city studied the impact of new transportation services on congestion. That was the city's argument, that it added to too much congestion in the city. So now, from my understanding, and thank you, I think my thing might be back up.
You can keep it for a while.
Okay. From my understanding on this, we still have put it on pause only in another direction where we're going to let it go and see how it works.
Well, as you always say, let's hear from our political scientists on this.
Yes.
And here's
Ira.
I'm an Uber user, so careful what you say.
So it's very interesting because Uber has taken New York City by storm.
As it has in other locations.
I was just going to say, it's worldwide. They're doing it all over the place. The taxi industry in New York obviously doesn't like Uber. And in fact, when you get into any cab in New York, as we were on the way to JFK the other day, they will tell you how they hate it and how their business has dropped off. At one point, I believe I'm right about this, a cab, what do you call that, a medallion?
Medallion
was $1 million, over $1 million. Now it's half of that. And that's because there isn't a sort of price control on transportation. Well, the mayor decided, who knows why. Am I saying the mayor did it because he was being, you know, pushed by the taxi industry and their shark-eating lobbyists? I'm not saying that at all necessarily. Necessarily, these comments are not those of the station. The Times, everybody came down on them. I think the Post was for, I mean, maybe you're wrong about this. But anyway, the Times came down on them hard editorially and said, this is not the way to do this. And the mayor beat a hasty retreat and said, okay, we're going to look at this. We're going to study it. We're going to appoint a commission. But we're not going to do it right away. We're going to allow Uber to continue.
Listen, do the taxi cabs in New York City and elsewhere face a dim prospect for the future if they don't change their ways, meaning the amount of money it costs to get in and drive from here to there, or change their ways to compete with Uber, which not only is more convenient in that you can just call your Uber a cab from your cell phone, have it show up in mere minutes, and then they charge you less than a cab does. Either they're going to change or they're going to die. And you know what? I think that's very sad, but welcome to the club, because there are any number
newspapers.
Of newspapers are the ones nearest to my heart. I'm sure I wouldn't have to look too far to find other industries that have suffered, withered, and died away as a result of new technology or people coming up with a better mousetrap. So I think Uber has provided a valuable service. It is superior, generally speaking, to taxi cabs. And by the way, aren't those commercials that are running on New York City TV stations for Uber effective, showing how in various outer boroughs you're not able to get a cab because a cab won't deem
right.
to go out there?
Well, you can get the green cabs.
So, what interests me, go back to your political science thing, I don't know either whether or how much de Blasio was influenced by the lobbyists, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out. And for him to suggest a cap on a private business is just nonsense. And I think de Blasio has been, in many respects, a disappointment, is just another bad mark on his ledger.
Well, from a public safety standpoint, and perhaps cabs and this sort of thing are a little different than another private enterprise.
Yeah.
But doesn't there have to be a cap? I mean, the medallions, yeah, they were pricey, but they limited the number of cabs. At some point, you will reach a point where there are too many on the road, right?
Unless the cabs price themselves out of business and there are fewer cabs.
But
on
even
the
if
road.
if it's Uber and just Uber, you have to cap them at some point.
I don't know the answer to that.
I love having Rex. What is his name? Ray on the
Rex.
Show.
Yeah. Call me Rex.
I love having Ray on
Did
the
you
show.
Take your name tag off. Put it back on.
Ray, as so many people have commented about Ray, he keeps it real. You know, he tells us that is the other argument.
Yeah, that's a fair
point. Those are the other arguments, you know, against it. Nevertheless. I like your point. It is a private business. It's working. New Yorkers overwhelmingly want it. And if they want it, that's what democracy is all about.
This is like Airbnb, the same kind of thing.
And
I have to say, you know, here again, and Ira is absolutely right. You call Uber, they come over, they offer you water. Many times.
Sunday.
Chilled. Is there Uber in Albany? I have not needed
I know
it.
That they were working on
yeah,
it. I
yeah.
don't know that it is up and running
And by the way, Ira, I don't know that your premise about them being cheaper is true. I think in some cases.
There are various pricing models, but generally speaking, it is cheaper, particularly if you go for the basic Uber as opposed to Uber X or one of the other.
And I like chocolate covered Ubers.
Delicious. It's Goobers.
Yeah, the one I went to where the price was agreed upon before you leave.
Oh, you always have to do
yes,
that.
Yes, you can tell. You go on and it'll give you an estimated price.
And so if you get into traffic or it's long or whatever the case may be, you're still paying that price and not the price that you would pay in a cab where you're in traffic for 12 blocks.
That's an interesting
blocks.
Point.
So that's good.
But also
nice.
the model changes depending on the hour.
Yes, hours. That's been a controversy, and people think that's one of the downsides of Uber is that if it gets really busy, then they will charge. They can charge you more money. Surge pricing, I believe they call it.
Yeah.
When you think about, I think we have a letter or two on this, Alan. Do you want to get
the,
those?
On the Uber?
In the 2 minutes we have left.
On Uber, yeah, okay. Here it is, from Margaret. If Uber were available in Clinton, New York, would the escapees have gotten away?
Ah.
I am surprised Donald Trump has not gotten involved. There's money to be made. Okay. And then Mattman says, Taxi Trumpet. The Donald's new ride service will feature sound bites on rear screens, and his cars will run on hot air.
Okay.
I'm just reading them. Okay, we're not doing that one. And then Libby says, R. Libby.
Libby?
Yeah, she checked in.
Can't get enough, eh, Libby?
You're having way too much fun without me, says Libby.
Oh, it isn't, you know.
See, they're having. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt the ceremonial reading of the mail.
No, please.
No, I was going to point out that in other cities where there are problems with Uber, Los Angeles immediately comes to mind. The argument is whether they're going to allow Uber to pick up customers at the airport. They are currently.
Oh, that's always a big one.
Yeah,
that's always a big one, and I bet they lose on that one.
No, it's they're moving forward in that direction, at least in Los Angeles.
Wow, because that's why, you know, the green cabs can deposit you there, I believe, but they can't pick you up.
Right. Yeah, that's the cha-ching money. Isn't
so tell me about the business. Oh, we only have a minute. Tell me about the business model for this. Is it a centralized company that runs this, or are they just loose, independent confederation?
No, I was surprised to hear they have huge revenue already in only a couple of years, and they showed, and I think it was New York City, the outside of a headquarters building where it said Uber carved in a headstone.
Okay.
So
yeah. And Tony says, Ira is missing a few points about Uber. In other words, Uber isn't subject to the same rules as yellow cabs, such as having a handicapped accessible cars.
Well, that's probably true. And then you don't have to use them, and then you have to go to the others.
Or you could just look. I'm sure that will be something on the Uber site where you will then be a part of your search.
And Michael responded to your de Blasio remarks that de Blasio snuck in as mayor for a lack of any other Democratic candidates. Well, no, actually, there were a lot of other Democratic candidates. And then he says, could Trump do the same thing?
It's amazing that we've been on a half hour. We were thinking we shouldn't talk about Trump, and the readers are
listeners want to talk about Trump.
All I know is we did a Vox Pop the other day. There were five phones. They were just busy the entire time. Every one of them was lit up.
All fascinating. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll catch you. Ray says maybe it's not all that fascinating.
I'm going to get an Uber to go get some water.
Okay, great. We'll meet you back here in about 3 minutes. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Ira Fussfeld, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. We're having a lot of fun today. Just a quick reminder that we will not be having a panel discussion tomorrow. We will have a full roundtable show. It'll be new, fresh, and delightful. But we just won't be able to include the panel because we're doing some upgrades to our studio. And they're moving us to temporary quarters, which I believe you will inaugurate at noon tomorrow.
Oh, great.
And I asked this question, what could go wrong?
No, I've already discussed this with Dave Hopper, my engineer. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll go off just fine. But anyway.
Is Pat Cooney taking off tomorrow?
No.
Believe me,
Pat
will be on
is
hand.
Our chief engineer.
Yeah, he'll be right on this.
He's got a lot to do.
Well, no, they've been building it for time. It should be great.
Yeah, but Stonehenge was quicker, actually.
No, Ray. Just a reminder, and then we'll be back with a full show in our new quarters on Monday, so that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right. we have a lot of letters on Uber.
Ooh.
An Uber amount of letters.
Now that's funny.
Keep talking, because I messed up.
Okay.
All right. Done. I pressed done. Okay. Now, Joe says, fantastic. It's great hearing conservatives knock Uber, which is a new private business enterprise, and siding with the big government bureaucracy around medallion management traffic regulations and supporting taxi drivers, which sounds an awful like supporting organized labor. Seriously, fantastic stuff. That's from Joe in Del Mar. And Jessica says, Uber is not a morally viable alternative to traditional cabs. There have been many excellent national articles, which I won't regurgitate, that highlight the many anti-worker characteristics of Uber's business model. But additional Uber in places like New York City is only a solution for affluent white people. Uber drivers simply won't go to many non-affluent neighborhoods. And there have been many documented instances of Uber drivers showing up to pick up a customer, seeing that they were African Americans, and driving off without picking them up. Uber drivers are not subject. It's too long. Okay, we got the premise.
I don't know that that's accurate, but if it is accurate, it's no different than yellow cabs. I mean, that's been one of the big complaints.
Well, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we're doing a lot of experimenting. We have, as I've said a couple of times today, the green cabs, mm-hmm. which you could only get allegedly, I think, over 110th or 125th Street and in the Bronx and Queens to help you out there. And John says, allowed to expand unchecked, Uber and other to for hire traffic in Manhattan will lead to what is already in place in the City of London. Permitted access only. All cars are banned except those with permits to allow access to the surface streets in certain zones. As we know, Bloomberg tried that.
Didn't work out.
Okay. And then we heard from Charlene, who said, aren't there rules and regs that ensure safety, working conditions of regular cabs in New York City and have some kind of background check of all drivers, all of which are not part of the Uber cars, the drivers? What kind of checks are made of the cars that Uber provides, or the drivers for that matter? Is not that what raises the cost of using regular cabs? Better be safe than sorry.
Well, again, it's my understanding that Uber, and it's a growing and new company, does in fact have standards that it's attempting to meet. It's not letting any clunker on the road with a driver who's just broken out of Dannemora.
And on the other hand, Ryan says, "Good morning. I can't wait till we get Uber up here in the Capital District. Have you ever tried to get a cab around here on a Friday night or a holiday New Year's? It's nearly impossible, and no price regulation." Thanks, says Ryan. All right. I think there is theoretically, right, price regulation, and then you go to a certain place. I don't know.
It's very dicey as far as traveling around here in a cab is very expensive.
It really is.
Around here?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, it is.
It's been a few years since I've done that. It didn't seem overly pricey.
And my son Jonas took a cab here one day. From
New
airport
Orleans.
To over here. He said, "Why are you going over there?" And he said, "My father is at WAMC." He said, "Who's your father?" He said, "Alan Shartok." He said, "I hate him." So it was
about $20 to get to the airport? No, seriously, right?
I don't know. So Rick said, "Panel, what happens when the first passenger is injured or killed in an Uber car?" And that's from Rick. Okay. And Robert says, "Panel, I have enjoyed using Uber from time to time, but I've always been acutely aware that I'm in a vehicle that's comparatively uninsured, doesn't pay a fraction of the taxes a cab does, under USD, not without issues." USD. Anybody can help me with USD? Okay.
Don't know.
We've been getting a daily letter about how cruel horse racing is. I just thought I'd mention it.
I don't believe Uber uses horses.
You never mention it.
They shoot Ubers, don't they?
Okay. We had a major thing happen last night, Joe. Mr. Libous, the senator from Binghamton,
Binghamton area,
was convicted.
Yes,
of lying to the FBI.
And
Rich writes us a letter and says, "Why don't the state legislators just confess? There are many snakes among the Republican state senators. Has anyone checked out the Democrat who sits with them?"
So what's going to happen, Professor Shartok, in the state Senate now that Libous is being forced to resign? He was sadly has terminal cancer, so he likely was going to not be in the Senate much longer. But now his seat has been officially vacated. So what happens given, A, how will they fill it, and B, given how tight the separation is between the Democrats and the Republicans?
Okay, I'm a little confused on this, and I'm embarrassed. But there's somebody out there listening right now who knows just how close it is. I think it's one vote. It may be more. And there is, as it's just pointed out, there are the three guys, Klein and his people, who have gone over there, Democrats, to help the Republicans, I'm sure with the help of the governor, and then who likes the Republicans in the Senate. And then there is the what's his name, Felder? a Democrat from Brooklyn who has ran as a Democrat but sits with the Republicans because he said he would do that when he was running. It's very iffy. I mean, I don't see how, if in a presidential year, the New York State Senate survives. Plus, there are many, many senators on the Republican side who are quite old. I mean, they're in their 80s. So that's another problematic issue because people tend to vote for incumbents. And when there's an open seat, then there's an open election. Did you hear anything you didn't like in the way I
No,
just said?
I just find, I come up here to visit, you find folks at WAMC and I get off the thruway and I get off the Empire State Plaza exit and I go past the Capitol and going home, I go past the Capitol. And when I get home, I feel as if I have to take a shower. I mean, what is going on in that Capitol? And I mean, here you have now. The number two man in the Senate has been convicted.
And the number one man
has
been indicted.
The number one man has been indicted. The number one man in the Assembly has been indicted. And who knows, you know, Alan and I were talking about this earlier. When Rudy Giuliani was in the position that Barrera is in now, he went after a lot of this kind of corruption. Barrera has gone after a lot of corruption. And there seems to be a black hole in between. And I don't know if that's because there was all of a sudden no corruption or whoever was in that office or whomever was in that office just didn't go after it. But it is just such a snake pit in Albany. And if that's unfair to the majority of the state legislators, so be it. But I don't see any groundswell from within to try to clean up the House and their houses. And so it's got to be done from the outside, and it's sullying the reputation of all of them, fairly or unfairly.
I think you make a very good point. But I think what happened is that Preet Bharara decided that his view of the law was to move the line, I think, more accurately. When you have somebody trying to get a son-in-law a job, for example, or a son a job, and trading official government favors, if that's what you want to call it, I think that's a definition that has always gone the other way. Now, Ira, I have to say to you that if I was this state legislature right now, I would be out there issuing reforms like crazy. I would, for example, put the terrible conferences where all the decisions are made on TV so we could see what they were doing, what their discussions were like. I would put up all kinds of new rules on ethics, and then maybe they would survive. But what's going to happen is Bharara isn't going to quit. And every indication we have is that he's going full throttle ahead to make sure this whole thing gets cleaned up.
Well, good for him. But you're right. If the legislators who have no skeletons in their closet are not rising up for their own reputations because they're being painted with a broad brush that everybody up here is corrupt and it's seemingly not doing anything to change that opinion.
The real question, Ira, is everybody up here corrupt? Now, I know people in the state legislature who are wonderful people, like the good Kruger, who was a senator. Now, I say the good Kruger because it was a bad Kruger. What'd you say?
Freddy Kruger.
Very bad. Very bad.
There was a bad Kruger. But here's what's happening. I think if you put your hand over your ear and real tight, you can hear knees knocking in the state legislature because I think a lot of these people have done exactly this. They have said, hey, I need some help on this. I need some help getting this thing done. I'll help you if you help me. That has been the nature of Albany politics for a long, long time. And by the way, I had the district attorney, David Soares, who I very much admire, on the other day on the air. And he said, when I asked him about specific stuff, he said, I can't talk about this because I may well be called on to testify, because he was on the Moreland Act Commission. And he said very proudly that they gave all of their cases that they had been developing to Preet Bharara. So I think there's much more coming.
Mm-hmm. Hope so.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We will finish up our conversation. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Ira Fussfeld. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Dorset Theater Festival, presenting Sherlock Holmes and the Case of the Jersey Lily in a Baker Street tale of intrigue and wit at the Dorset Playhouse through Saturday, dorsettheaterfestival.org. Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more, ParadiseCopies.com. And Columbia County Tourism, a summer home to the classic musicals, theater, waterfront concerts, music, dance, and outdoor films, ColumbiaCountyTourism.org.
Good morning, and thank you very much for being with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us move on to other topics. While we're talking about the state of New York, the other big New York State issue that was solved, we solve things in this state, $15 minimum wage for fast food workers, beginning in New York City and then expanding to the rest of the state.
Well, this is what we call, Joe, the Full Employment for Lobbyists Act. The reason I say that is that there are a lot of industries that don't want to have a decent minimum wage for everybody. And so they send their lobbyists up, the governor's office at other places, and they operate on them. They want to make sure. So they come up with this one thing. I think there's a major union that is for it. And they say, let's have $15. And the governor goes for it. The legislature goes for it. But what is the rationale for saying one industry only? We're only going to give basic minimum wage protection to people who work in these places. I don't get that.
I don't understand it either, nor do I understand how certain businesses, whether they are fast food places or not, are going to be able to afford to
enjoy the $9 Big Mac.
Well, that's the argument, and I'm perfectly prepared to make that argument because I ran a business, and I can tell you that when you raise wages, either by minimum wage going up or otherwise, it's going to impact your bottom line unless you also raise your price of advertising or buying the product. So $9 Big Mac, I don't know, but it's going to go in that direction. And there is no doubt in my mind that this kind of raise will create either that kind of price increase or less employment. That said, I don't know how anybody in this world can live on the current wages. And so $15, even that, if you start programming out, is not a lot of money.
Right.
So how – there's got to be – I shouldn't say there's got to be because I don't know that there is. But raising the rate makes perfect sense to me. But if anybody thinks there won't be any impact on them at the cash register, they're wrong.
One of the arguments that I heard that just – and this goes to what Alan was saying – resonates with me is why this industry alone – and this came from a bus driver outside of Syracuse, a school bus driver, who was making $9.30 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, my God, if our school bus drivers aren't making more than minimum wage, and I'm not trying to pit any one industry against another and saying that a school bus driver is more important than somebody who's working at McDonald's, but it does seem that it's something that we have to look at as to, well, how does that work? Why is there such disparity?
Well, it's because isn't it the fast food workers were also the loudest? They were the ones that were doing the protests, and so they
To your point about the lobbyists.
Unions and lobbyists. And then also there's a union that was for it who may have kicked in when they should have to the various campaigns. And then there's all these other industries that don't want it and send their lobbyists up to make sure that they don't get it. I just think this is a recipe for disaster.
Oh.
Ira, I have to compliment you. I think you parsed it exactly right. These are the reasons for and these are the reasons against.
Well, I think that you can say hello to the corporate lawyers because it looks like there will be loopholes fairly large. So according to the New York Times, the mandate should apply to all workers in fast food restaurants that are parts of chains with at least 30 outlets, the board said. They defined, and here's the key, fast food as food and drink served at counters where customers pay before eating and can take their food with them if they choose. So perhaps a chain changes the rule a little bit when you walk in.
To what?
Have somebody come up to your table.
Yeah. Drop it off.
I see.
Or
I get it.
Maybe the only fast food worker in that place is the person at the drive-thru. And so if the lawyers start parsing this, this whole thing falls by the wayside with litigation.
And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm looking through an article for confirmation, and here it is, this new rate will not take effect in upstate until 2021.
Yes.
It's, by my calculation,
that's
6 years from now.
2021.
Why?
Well, because, you know, you do it for 4 years from now or 3 years from now.
You kick that can, yeah.
Try to get the credit.
Well, yeah. On the regular minimum wage, may be up by 15
minutes. That is so, that is just so expected. That's the way these guys operate.
Well, let's talk about people at 9 minutes left. Let's talk about people who have money, and because there seems to be so much interest in Donald Trump.
Oh, not again.
You didn't do the story yesterday, did you? The financial disclosure?
No, not at all.
Okay, I find this interesting.
Good
for
you,
Joe. $14,222 in salary. He owes at least $265 million. He's $265 million in debt.
Wow.
But he says that he's worth $10 billion.
Well, yeah. He's paid about $250,000 per speech. He received $110,000 from a pension with the Screen Actors Guild.
Wow.
And those are just some of the details that were revealed in Mr. Trump's financial disclosure that was filed with the Federal Election Commission last week and made public on Wednesday. It is showed that Mr. Trump earned at least $380 million, making him the highest earning candidate, and a detailed assets worth of at least $1.4
billion. Mm. Where's the 10 that he mentioned?
He may have forgotten to carry
does
the
he exaggerate
wine.
At times?
Well, but the question is, what has to be on that form? Do you have to list all assets? And if you list all assets, is that where the 10
somebody,
is?
One of the networks hired some accountants to go through the paperwork, and they were basically they basically said he has less than what he claimed he has, but because of the way his various businesses and naming rights and golf courses, there's so many things going on there that it's very hard to pinpoint. And in fact, Trump said that himself. I believe that the form he had to fill out is 92 pages long.
Wow.
And it was confusing, to say the least. Here's what we know about Trump, and how do we know this? Because he keeps saying it. He's very smart. And he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, he will tell you that at the beginning of every interview.
Nice hair, too.
Well, I don't go to the hair jokes. That's too easy.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't have enough hair, so I'm not going to joke about them.
I think he should be singing Duke of Earl or something, don't you?
I commend everybody. Here's my homework assignment. I know Rosemary likes to do this.
Yes.
Go online and find Newsweek.com. Yes, Newsweek is still out there. And read the story, The Summer of Trump-NATO. And it is a great piece, and it explains it perfectly.
May I ask what may seem like a cheap shot question, but I'm just curious.
Please.
You said he is both, but you said he's very smart.
Yes, he says so. That's what he'll always say.
Very smart. I am
very smart. Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think he's smart?
I think he's smart. I think intelligence has to be measured in many ways, which is why I think that some of these school tests are not good, because some people don't do well in school tests but end up as president of the United States. It just happens.
Maybe some presidents haven't been so smart.
Well, maybe, but there's always an issue of intelligence, of native intelligence. I think he has a lot of intelligence. I just think, as you say, he's shrewd. He knows what to feed the people, and that makes him good at what he does. I don't like him, but that is why I'm willing to give him that.
The only thing that gives me reason for pause about how smart he is that he seems to be flying by the seat of his pants so far. That the comments that have been made that have generated the most controversy are unscripted, and if he's had these comments in the back of his mind, or if he's had this gimmick of reading Lindsey Graham's phone number, if that was all planned out, then let's just project and say, I think safely, he is not going to win the nomination. He is not going to be the president. And at the end of the day, is the Trump brand going to be better and more lucrative than it was before he went in? And let's remember that he has already lost millions of dollars of business through Macy's and through the NBC and through the PGA Tour.
Because of what he said about Hispanics.
example. So if he is smart, as he says he is, he must have thought all this through and knew that this was the risk. I don't know that I'm prepared to get to that
Ira,
point yet.
He is in touch with the ethos of the middle-range angry people in this country. And in that way, he is both irresponsible and brilliant. He is not the first person who has done that and has achieved high office, as I have said many times, because he understands who his public is and what he has to do to get to them. If he's attacking immigrants, if he's calling Mexicans rapists, if he's doing all of those things, I don't admire him for it. Believe me, I don't. I think it's disgusting. But I do think that he has a certain kind of intelligence that says, if I want to win this prize, if I want to win the golden ring on the carousel, and I believe the carousel in Central Park is named after him, is named for him.
Just because he renovated it.
Because he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as is the ice skating rink. What he does is to say, if I want to get here from here to here, this is how I have to do it.
But does he really think he is going to get there?
Absolutely.
I mean, he has roughly 20% of the vote in the current polling, right?
Right.
There's 15 other candidates who have the rest of the 80%.
Doesn't matter.
Well, no. As these other candidates drop out, how much of their support do you think is going to go to Trump? At the end of the day, I'd be shocked if Trump ever gets beyond 25% to 30% as that other 80% is parsed and distributed elsewhere.
Well, I know you graduated from a brilliant university, far be it from me to tell you you're wrong.
We don't know whether I'm wrong yet, but disagree.
I don't know that I disagree. Yeah. Far be it for me to disagree with you. But I have to say, I do think that Trump has a sort of native intelligence that is a problem solver. I get from here to here. He uses people's body energy. Much as you do with jiu-jitsu, he knows how to work it. The game, as defined in the United States, is that he understands that game almost as if you were playing Monopoly. Here's how you do. You ever trade Marvin Gardens for Ventnor Place?
Oh yeah.
You know, do you do all of those things? He gets it. He understands what this is about, and he so far is winning.
Well, so far he's winning. I don't believe there's a chance in hell that he's going to win this nomination.
And I think he knows it.
Well, that's which would make me go back to the point of how smart is he, because he is saying things that are not, in a polite world, appropriate.
And but Ira, he's leading.
He's
Don't
leading.
You get it?
Talking about the long
road.
So
is Michelle Bachmann leading at this point. And I mean, we're 16 months away from the presidential
long
election.
Long road, long
we're
schmode.
8 months away from the first primary, or is 6 months away from the primary. Let's say, now it'll be fascinating to watch this debate coming. This debate coming, was it August 6th? Must see viewing. Even
Absolutely.
You're going to watch Fox that night.
But I get what you guys are all saying. I get what you're saying, and that is he may not win, but he does win in any case.
We are out of time, but I appreciate you all being here. A reminder, no roundtable panel tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. There will be a roundtable show tomorrow, and we'll have everything will be sounding great. We'll be in a new studio and all that good stuff.
I'll break it in for you.
Thank you very much, Ray. I know you're good at that. We'll be back after this short break.